As the country's leaders continue to grapple with the evolving threat of the coronavirus, many Australians have turned to the medical experts for information on how best to protect themselves and the community. Some commentators have questioned the speed and accuracy of the federal government's response, concerned over anxiety in the community evidenced by panic buying and shortages on supermarket shelves. Questions have also been raised over the slow response by the federal government in releasing its public education campaign about COVID-19. Community concerns over whether or not schools should be shut down, who is most vulnerable to the epidemic, and what exactly is meant by social distancing continue to be raised. Producer and presenter of the Health Report on Radio National, Dr. Norman Swan, has been a leader in the provision of timely, accurate information to the general public on the virus, and he joins me now. Norman, thank you so much for your time this evening. We're hearing a lot about flattening the curve. Why is this so important?
Well, if you don't do anything about this virus, the evidence is that it will just run wild. And if it runs wild, you get a very, very sharp increase in the number of people who are infected. And that is associated with a very large number of deaths. So I don't want to scare people, but that's what happens. We know that from the 1918 influenza pandemic, and it's what happens here. And the people who are at most risk are people who are older and with other problems like heart disease, diabetes, and so on. The problem for Aboriginal communities is that because of the gap, people have these problems at a younger age, and you'd have to assume that in Aboriginal communities are more vulnerable. So if you don't do anything about it, then it runs riot, and people die before their time. And also, the healthcare system is overwhelmed and the ability to deal with it. And that's what happened in China. It's what's happening in Britain just now. It's certainly what happened in Italy. So for that reason, you want to try and slow it all down so you don't get the rapid rise and you control it and you get as few cases as you possibly can. You're never going to eliminate it until there's a vaccine. And even then you might not eliminate it. So you control it and you slow the whole thing down. So you don't get that rapid rise and it just slows down and it slowly builds up over time rather than going up fast. And that means everybody can get used to it and deal with it. It still means that people will become very sick. By the way, even though it's older people with other problems, middle-aged people get it too, so 30 and 40-year-olds, and children can get it as well. And newborn and babies in the first year of life can get it quite severely. Not all of them, but some of them can. So that's what it is. It's just about controlling it. And what that's about is getting tested if you think that you're susceptible. And the rules are at the moment, if you've come in contact with somebody who's a known case of positive for COVID-19, or you got off a plane from overseas, but that's going to burn itself out for a while because we're already isolating those people. Or you've got a pneumonia and nobody can explain why in the current environment you would be tested. Or if you're a healthcare worker, say you're an Aboriginal health worker or a general practitioner or something like that, and you get sick and you've got the symptoms, but even though you haven't come in contact knowingly with somebody, then you can get tested too. And then you find out who those other people have been in contact with, and then you isolate them as well. All these things are tough to do in many Aboriginal communities.
Some communities are now imposing travel restrictions coming in and out. Is that going to be enough to stop the spread?
Not necessarily, but isolating communities to stop people coming in. When you've got no COVID-19 in the community, then it's likely that if you just think of it, this is like a microcosm, a little example of what the nation as a whole, we've been stopping people coming in from China, Iran, Italy. Aboriginal communities that don't have it, it's going to be somebody coming from the outside who will bring it in. So that is a good idea. Then the question is, what do you do when you've got family members visiting from other communities, your uncles, your aunties? These are not easy questions to answer, and most communities would resist that because that's part of life. Part of your family comes in, so, and your extended family. And the risk is the more people do that and more interchange, then the more likely it is that somebody brings it in, not intentionally, but they bring it in because they've had contact elsewhere. And when Aboriginal communities get it, or Torres Strait Islander communities get it, that'll be what's happened. It's because of the natural interchange. I mean, Aboriginal communities are much more interconnected than the non-Indigenous community. And to stop that is a very difficult thing to ask people to do. But that interconnectedness is what creates the risk as well.
One of the comments often coming from the Indigenous community is there's a lot of focus on the importance of securing and keeping safe our remote communities, but a large number live in large urban areas like Western Sydney and still have that personal interaction in those urban areas. What's your advice for people living in those urban areas about the precautions they should and must be taking?
That will change over time. But the general principle here is hand washing frequently. It's not once or twice a day. It's frequently. Certainly after you've been to the bathroom, and it's certainly after you've been in contact with surfaces that you don't know what the surface has been. Just anything you come in contact, you've got to get phobic. You've got to get a bit fearful of the surfaces around and so on. And soap and water, you don't have to buy hand sanitizer. Soap is actually better than hand sanitizer because soap kills the germ by breaking down the fat around it. So soap and water is really good, but you've got to wash for 20 seconds at least. And if you can, using a separate towel or paper towels, essentially. So that's a big thing. Anybody's got a cough and a cold, they should not be mixing with the rest of the community or the family. They've got to isolate themselves because there's a small chance that they have this COVID-19. And in terms of personal contact, the more contact you have with other people, the more likely you are to get the infection. So you've just got to pull back from that, and no shaking of hands. And if you're out there with other people, then you maintain a distance, and it's about 1.5 meters, so that you don't come too close to other people. And this is not natural for anybody, and it's particularly not natural behaviour for Aboriginal people in Aboriginal communities. So tough stuff, really difficult to do, but that's the way to do it. Walking around with a mask on your face doesn't help. Unless, of course, you're an Aboriginal health worker working with other people, then you would, to protect yourself in that close quarter circumstance. But Aboriginal medical services will have their own protocols for dealing with this.
Just finally tonight, you've been an enormously important resource and a lot of people are calling on you and your time. What are you doing to ensure your mental well-being during this period of stress that we could perhaps learn from as we're all kind of trying to deal with this crisis?
Well, I think it's about staying in touch with friends, even though you're not seeing them because we're a bit isolated. That's really important. Staying in touch with family and my kids. We stick together even though my kids are spread out. Getting exercise, that's really important. And for people just even to get out for a walk in the fresh air, unless we are being isolated, you know, and eat well. And, you know, the temptation is that you cut corners with your food and eat fresh, healthy food if you can. All that makes you feel better, and music, you know, things that you enjoy, and just make sure that you connect with those things.
Norman, thank you so much for stopping by, speaking out this evening and sharing with us this important information, especially when you're so busy.
It's my pleasure.
Norman Swan is a physician, journalist and host of Radio National's Health Report and the ABC's new podcast, CoronaCast. And if you want to stay up to date with the latest developments, you can find the CoronaCast podcast on the ABC Listen app.